we were discussing Kriya Shema, recall, and the aspect of Kriya Shema that we had spoken about was primarily a very significant aspect in terms of it being the Raisa, the Rabbanan. And we had also spoken about the Baruch Shem from Achusa de la Moed. Perhaps I'll mention one or two relevant areas that I don't think I've discussed till now. The Mishnah Berurah writes over here, Sivkot Lamed Aleph, so the Mishnah Berurah points out that one should be mafsik a little bit between Baruch Shem Kvam Chusei Olam Bo'ed and the Ahavta. And the reason is because he claims that Baruch Shem Kvam Chusei Olam Bo'ed is also part of Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. And I mentioned also yesterday, the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sinai Samach Gimel that the Shulchan Aruch points out the Ikar Kavana is in the first pasuk. The din is ad kidei kach. If you read the first pasuk without Kavana, you are not yotze the Kriya Shema. And you have to once again say the first pasuk of Kriya Shema. So too, the Mishnah Berurah indicates if I don't say Baruch Shem from Chusei Olam Bo'ed with Kavana, then also I have to go back and read it again, because the argument is that Baruch Shem is part of the first pasuk, part of the pasuk of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And what's very fascinating, and you learned the Mishnah, otherwise I won't trouble you, but the Mishnah in Brachos writes, when it speaks about when you're allowed to be mafsik, in the middle of the perek, you're allowed to be mafsik, let's say, to ask lishol, lisholom, let's say according to some Rishonim, mishayari meno, someone that you're afraid of, a father, a rebbe, a mishagadol meno b'chachma, the way the Rishonim, right? But that halacha was not said regarding if someone is in the middle of the pasuk of Shema Yisrael Baruch Shem. That's what Mishnah Berurah said. There you cannot be mafsik. Why? Because the ultimate, the absolute item is Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. And that does not warrant, does not permit any kind of hefsek, any kind of interruption in Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. It's really a very beautiful, wondrous idea that the Mishnah Berurah expresses. The Bi'ah Halacha points out over there in Simchas Amoreh Aleph that even though there's no question that if a person is in the middle of Shema and Baruch Shem, you should not be mafsik. However, b'di'evet, let's say a person skipped it, you don't go back, because even if you skip the Guf HaParsha itself, had the Torah not told us, for example, there's a din, can I read the Kriya Shema on Mafreya? What do you want to say in Brachos?
You can't have to read it.
No.
The Mafreya means
out of order.
Can I? Chas v'shol. How do we know that? From what pasuk?
Vahoyu.
Correct. The Gemara says Vahoyu shalich l'Mafreya. But if not for that, so I would not have to go ahead and go back to the beginning of the Kriya Shema. Why should we machmir even by Baruch Shem Kvam Chusei Olam Bo'ed? The Chazal were misakeh. But the Bi'ah Halacha says if you're in the middle of Kriya Shema, again you say wherever you remember. And again, as I said, but the Chatzchila wants you to try to be masik between Baruch Shem Kvam Chusei Olam Bo'ed a little bit and Vi'ahavta. There are people who actually are makbid to do this, and you should also be makbid as well to the extent that you possibly can. Okay, all this was regarding a bit of Kriya Shema, and I read this Rambam yesterday, if you remember. the fact of the matter is that Baruch Shem, as we mentioned, there's a distinction between Baruch Shem that said on Yom Kippur, when we say the Kol Ram, we mentioned the Gemara Masechta and Nun Zayin, reference to Yaakov Avinu, that Yaakov Avinu, as a result of the question that was directed to his children, and he said Baruch Shem, but anyway, it was said Bachashai, and the fact of the matter is that Dafka Yom Kippur, we say then Dafka B'Kol Ram. It's interesting that the Shulchan Aruch also speaks about being medactic in Kriya Shema. I mentioned that the Briskins are very incredibly medactic on Kriya Shema. I don't know if it could be so medactic. We pass in Korol Odiktik Mahem Yotza, it's a Mishnah. If you recall, I'm glad you recall, in the second paragraph of Brachas, that if you read Kriya Shema without being medactic, but the evidence is that Yotze, but you see from the Shulchan Aruch that Mitzvah Chatzchila Ledaktik Bal Tzilsel. You have to be very careful the way you say Kriya Shema. Even people who daven a bit more quickly, shall we say, than the average, which is very common, but at least Kriya Shema, we should try to say slowly and methodically with some degree of kavana. The Gemara says that if you do so, they will cool off your Gehenna. So, not you, Chas v'Shalom, none of you, you're all going to Gan Eden. Eis Hashem is Barach at all. Klal Yisrael is going to Gaden, but others somehow the Gehenna will be cooled off. So the Chatzilu we should try to, but not only be didactic in the Kriya Shema, but also be didactic in other things that I mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. If you remember, the Gemara says that in Brachas as well. Lo Yirape Hachozok Lo Yachazek Erofa. I don't recall the exact Gemara, but if you remember, undoubtedly Lo Yaniach Hanod Velo Yonid Hanoch. Shvanoch, Shvanoch, you have to be on top of that. Are you a Balkare? You didn't learn your Bar Mitzvah Pasha? So you are a Balkare. Why are you being so modest? Are you a Balkare? You learn? Yeah?
Yeah.
How old are you, Balik Kriya? You didn't learn your Bar Mitzvah Pasha?
No, I was practicing on Pasha.
You practiced?
It was on Pasha, and then it was probably on Shabbos.
Wow, that can happen. I once, many years ago, I was 13 years old, so my father was shown, drafted me to Lane. He felt it was important that I should know the whole Torah by heart, which I really don't, but anyway, he felt it was very important. And that's why he was makpid, we should do Shai Mikra Vatagrim, from the time we were 5 years old. And so he drafted me to Lane. I started in the summertime. So one summer, and I was tested by my father. So I had spent 30 hours, I'm not exaggerating, learning the Pasha, a week. And I had to have every trup in place. If I didn't have a trup in place, my father would not permit me to lay. And I was paid, Yosef, you won't hold on to your seat. I laid in two shuls. I had to walk several miles between the two. I was paid $5, $2.50 for each shul.
Now they give a lot more.
I believe so. I have Talmidim who make $300 a Shabbos just from laning. And I made $2.50. I think I was slightly underpaid, especially all the hours. How many per hour I was making approximately a penny or 2 pennies. But my father felt the money was not the ikar. The ikar was learning the parsha. He was definitely right, no question about it. So I have a bit of knowledge of the parsha today because of that. I'm not a balkari, I don't lane anymore. Unless it's a Shas Atchak, as you maybe on Shabbos, they need a Balkari, so they drafted me from the bullpen. And I feel the same, I learned that expression. I came to the bullpen to relieve the pitcher who somehow was not present. Anyway, did I get that correctly? Anyway, so I did lay one fine Shabbos, you will not believe this Chesky, I prepared the wrong Pasha. Now, I was laying, one of the shuls I was laying, there were a lot of octogenarian types there, elderly gentlemen. And so I started laning, and guess what? No one said a word. It was the wrong pasha. I prepared the wrong pasha. So every Shlishi, a fellow comes over to me, an older gentleman, and says, in Yiddish, of course, the old spoke Yiddish, I think you're not laying the right pasha. I said, no, this is what I prepared. This is obviously the right pasha. So they didn't know what to do, because I said it with a lot of emphatically, as if I was convinced beyond convincing that this is the correct pasha. Rabbi Chamishi, several more people came over to me, but no one really was ready to go up against me because I was 13 years old and obviously knew what I was doing. By the time Shvi arrived on the scene, a guy produced a calendar. So of course, what did I tell him? The calendar was wrong. I didn't prepare any other pasha. So the calendar had to be wrong. Before I knew it, three calendars were produced, different calendars, and they all had the same indication I prepared the wrong pasha. And so, I guess, I was, by that time I had finished already the entire pasha, I'd laid the entire pasha, people made brachas, everything, and then they told me I have to read the correct pasha, which is what I didn't prepare. That was not a good thing for Klal Yisrael, for me, or for anybody. And it was a very traumatic experience. There were a lot of people there who were relying on me. And they said, you're the Balkari. And of course, since they're paying me these massive sums of money, clearly, I had to lay the Pasha. So I ended up laying a Pasha that I didn't prepare. So someone was sort of on the side trying to, you know how they do it. I'm sure you've seen this in action, what you should see in action, correct? Along those lines, it didn't really help me much. I was in a state of trauma. I don't think I've ever recovered from that. But anyway, we have to be medactic in the Kriya Shema and the Mechaber post paskin the Shulchan Aruch over there, as I forgot, I think the Simcha Abdalit, and that's what I tried to do. Merabem did that. When I say Kriya Shema, how do I say it? With the Tam Amikra. I'm sure you do that as well. It means I lay in the Kriya Shema when I say it every day, I say it with the proper truck. You also do that because the Mechaber says that in Shulchan Aruch, and that's what I saw Hagoyim, Rabbi Shafainzin Zatzal do, and some other very fine Rabbonim, who I believe are in the category of Doli Ador. That's how they were knowing, and so that's how we should be knowing as well. Yes?
Rabbi, where does the word leaning come from?
I would venture to say it's a German word. I know it's used in Yiddish, and Yiddish essentially comes from German, so I believe it's a German word, which means to read, but it's generally associated with Kriyas HaTorah. But I'm pretty sure that's the origin of the term.
And what about daven?
The Svabim say to pray. They pray on Shabbat. So, that's what I discovered being in several Svabim synagogues a few weeks ago. On Shabbat, they pray. They pray in synagogues. I don't really know the answer. I suspect it's also of the same origin as laning, but I don't know. Honestly, I'm not. I don't have that knowledge that I'm able to say. The fact of the matter is that, back to this issue, we should try our best to really be medakdek ad kidei kach, where I will be honest with you, I heard from a Rabbi Fol Soloveitchik Zatzal in 1971. He's a son of the Rizkov. He sent us on many missions, interesting missions. I don't know if I spoke about it here. Perhaps I did. If I did, I cannot speak about it on that. But anyway, would you like to hear the missions I was sent on? But anyway, let me just mention what he passed in. He passed in that he said that his father, the Bristol, it took him 40 minutes to say Kriya Shema. That's how he was with Dr. in the Kriya Shema, Ad Kidei Kach. Wow. The problem, of course, is, and this is raised by a sefer called Udos van Hogos of Beis Brisk. You're probably familiar with that sefer. There are several volumes that were written about the Brisk recently by a fellow named Rabbi Mother. It's a big Talmud Chacham. He's a Talmud of Rav David Soloveitchik, who's the last remaining son of the Brisk Lov. He's in his 90s. So he's written a very, very beautiful volumes on the life of the Brisk Lov and also some of the Hanhogis of the Brisk Lov. I think it was also translated into English, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but I think so. Anyway, so there I saw that Rav Ozda, Zatzal, who was a Rav in Bnei Brak, Rosh Hashiva, Bnei Brak, Rav Ozda, learned the Chachmi Lublin Yeshiva by Amir Shapira, said, Zatzal Yerocha, he was a Goyim himself, only Dole Ador, Mechaber, many Sfarim. He asked the Biskel of the following question. He asked, how is it possible that you say Kriya Shema 40 minutes? That means, obviously, you say many words many times. You repeat something many times. Shema, 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 to make sure you had it in the proper tone. It's against the Mishnah that says, Ome Shema, Shema, Mishaskin, I say. You hear that, Kasha? Kasha, you hear that question that he asked the Biskel of? That Bosna. So Chachmin Lublin Yeshiva, who was a Bnei Brak, after the Biskel of, how could you say the Shema so many times? There's a Mishnah that says, Ome Shema, Shema, Mishaskin, I say. Must be quiet the person. So, the Briskel of answered Pashit. What is that Mishnah talking about? The Mishnah says you're not supposed to say Shema Shema more than once. The answer is talking about what? Where you look at Chila, have in mind to what? To say the Pasuk twice. Sometimes people sing in the middle of Kedusha, they start singing, and they sing something and they say it once and twice and three times, and that is the way, I guess, fits with the Niggin. Someone told me, and I heard a shmooze on this over here in the Yeshiva, you have to be in touch with your Nigudin. It hasn't left me yet. Rabbi Reichman Sr., that's what he said. You have to be in touch with Yom Nigudim. Are you in touch with Yom Nigudim? Of course you are. So if the Chatzilo, a person tries to say the item twice, that's what the Mishnah said, Meshaskin also. However, the Brisko said, no, that I want to be Yotze, the Mitzvah Kriyashma. So I'm trying my best to be Yotze, the Mitzvah Kriyashma. I'm obligated to what? To try my best, and in the course of it, I may say, take me 40 minutes. And say it many, many times till I get it right. You hear? That's what the Rabbi Fol Soloveitchik said with reference to this matter. Okay, maybe just for a second.
He comes in, he didn't want to comment on all the he said, like, on Masara, we think that it's not.
For the yeshiva and for the Rosh Yeshiva. Thank you very much. I want to go further and discuss another thing. And that is that I think you told me, if I'm not mistaken, what happened. All right? I think you told me, if I'm not mistaken, that the Sharon Achrai says, when you say, Ukshadim lo sayadecha, what do you do? V'hoyu l'tatam bin inecha? When you say l'tatam, you touch the tefillin shell? Correct. And the other one, when you say l'tatam bin inecha, you touch the tefillin shell, Rosh. And even though the Rosh Shabura does not say you're supposed to kiss your hand when you are mamashmesh, doesn't say that. However, the Chayonim writes in Hilchos Tefillin, Kiss Rosh Hashanah also writes that you're supposed to, after you touch the shalyad, people kiss their hand. I've seen this. I saw it here at the yeshiva. Even though I don't really see much in the yeshiva, I only daven here on Sunday mornings, if you may have noticed, for the one or two people who do come on Sunday mornings. Anyway, so we, there, I noticed that some people actually, they kiss their hand. That's based on the Chayodom, it's based on the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. Now, the question is, however, that, as you know, the practice of the Gra was not to do that. The Minhag Gra, I don't do it. Minhag Gra is not to do it. I'm sure you do it. In Satmar and Puppa, they do it. So I imagine you do it also. Do you not? When it comes to Ukshavta Ba'isal Yadecha, Ba'ilu Tatav Ben Yadecha, you are not Mamashmesh Peshalyad, and then here, you not do that?
I do.
I think Rav Tavisol does it, what I can see, no? And that's a good thing, because the Chayyachan say that's what you should do. But the goal held that you should not kiss your tzitzis, and you should even, for example, the third pasha. People also do it in the third pasha. When do they kiss their tzitzis in the third pasha?
They say tzitzis.
They say the word tzitzis. They kiss their tzitzis, correct? And so the Gon Hel, that's the Hefsek. What do you say? The Gon Hel, that this is called the Hefsek. The truth is, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that better not to do it. That's what the Gon Hel. And if I'm not mistaken, I think the Chazon Ish also was like that. He did not kiss his tzitzis in the middle of Kriyat Shema, but the Minhag Olam is clearly not like that. No question about it. And I'll be honest with you, it seems to me that many Gdoli Yisrael were knowing like that. That would seem to be, I saw some people, they just are mamashmesh. It means they are mamashmesh to tefillin shel yad, mamashmesh to tefillin shel rosh, but they don't kiss their hand. That's mentioned by the Chayyadim, I didn't kiss Shulchan Aruch. When I was a youngster, we used to learn two Svarim in Halacha. When I was in grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, grade 4, grade 5, we learned the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. I never heard of Mishnah Berurah. Didn't even know he existed. The other said we learned was the Chayyadim. Aren't that the two Svarim that you learned?
No, I didn't.
You learned Mishnah Berurah. Thank you. You're much higher in Madrega, but I was saying, but I learned the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch and learned actually the Chayyadim. That's what we did. That was the practice. So they mentioned this idea, but this notion of kissing the tzitzit, let's say in the third parasha of Vayomer, the Mechaber says that when you get to Orisim also, what should you do? You should look at your tzitzis. Orisim also. And you should put them over your eyes. I've seen people do that also. That's, but in Mechaber, Chabashim do it. It's actually considered to be a minig yofen. And the Mishabruah quotes, and that's what the Mechaber is based on. It's called Chibub HaMitzvah. What does it mean, Chibub HaMitzvah? Showing your love for the mitzvah. That's what you do. That's a beautiful thing. By the way, Sfaradim also kiss matzah. They kiss the matzah. You know the matzah is a kala? And obviously the chosim kisses the kala. After they got married. Not before. One second. So, how do we know that the matzah is a kala? Because the Vilna Gaon points out, based on the Torah Shulchan Aruch, I think I mentioned this to you once, for the time you've been Kiddush on Pesach night, till you eat the matzah, how many brachas are there? Sheva brachas, the Gaon counts. And it says, Kala below brachas, so the Bible can eat up. It's a brice in the Sikh of the Kala that you have to have Sheva brachas first. And then after you have Sheva brachas, you can eat the matzah, and then you can kiss the Kala. You like that? I don't like it. Mm-hmm. You find it to be a curioso. Would you not say so? Doesn't respond. Anyway, both of you don't respond. But I'm just saying that there is a statement in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Kadmonim, from the early Rishonim. He says that whoever does that, whoever picks the tzitzis over his eyes when he reads the Pasha tzitzis, he will, Hashem is Baruch, will give him clear sight his whole life. We'll never have, God forbid, no one should ever have it, simui einayim, God forbid, to be blinded. And the Rama said that if a person also kisses the tzitzit when he sees them, risim also, mishum chibim ha-mitzvah also, and till when do you take them? Mishum chibim, of course, is every akash. Till when do you take the tzitzit and when do you hold on to them? Till nechmadim la'at, then you're supposed to kiss them. That's how many actually are knowing. They place the tzitzit over their eyes. They don't take their glasses off necessarily, but they put the tzitzit over their eyes and they kiss them and they say risim also, and nechmadim nechmadim la'at ulom yom. Okay, yes, what do you want to say? Why isn't there a hefsek when you go ahead and kiss your tefillin rather than, well, why does it have a hefsek when tzitzis and not by kissing your tefillin? I think it's the same hefsek. I don't think there's a distinction. Those who don't do it don't do it b'chlal. I don't, my meaning is not to do it at all. And you mentioned also when people get to the word tzitzis, they also kiss their tzitzis, the kids of an arch mentioned that, that's a minig of olam, especially chutzar, it's a machsidim. And even though I'm not sure what's the mocker, let's say we get to Ani Hashem Elokechem Emes, he's also kissed that tzitzit. What's the mocker for that? Many are knowing like that. But what's the mocker? Maybe you'll tell me the mocker for that? I don't recall seeing a mocker for that. Do you remember? I don't recall seeing
it.
I missed that. Okay, so I also missed it. And, but the Vilna Gaon did not kiss his tzitzit at all in the middle of Kriyat Shema. That's already the Briska practice as well. And Chazon Ish didn't kiss his tzitzit. They consider it to be a hefsek. Okay, I think I'm going to stop. Shukar, thank you very much.